This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. How do you deal with climate change when you have unlimited money? Well, apparently what you do is you air condition not just the indoors, but the outdoors, which sounds insane, but that's what Steve Mufson found. He writes for the Washington Post. You traveled to Doha, Qatar, to look at how they were going to make their new soccer stadium habitable. So what are they doing?
We went to visit a big, beautiful stadium with the air conditioning system designed by a professor from Qatar University. And he said that he realized he doesn't need to air condition the whole stadium, the upper reaches. Rather, he created vents that were around ankle level. And because cold air obviously falls and hot air rises, that cool air went all the way down to the playing pitch. And, it seemed to be working on the day I was there. But wow. it's a very big task to do this, especially in the most intense part of the summer there.
Well, yeah. So how hot does it get in Doha these days during the summer?
The temperature was about 116 degrees Fahrenheit in the shade.
Yikes.
I mean, in the sun, it was significantly hotter than that.
Now, has it increased lately because of climate change, or is that the way it's always been?
Well, we chose Qatar because we've been writing about what happens in places that have already exceeded the 2 degrees Celsius mark. This is the limit that international leaders said the world should stick to by the year 2100. And what we have found is that the world's not warming up evenly, and we're looking at some of the places that have already gone past that 2 degree mark.
Now this, to air condition an outdoor space, takes a crazy amount of energy. And the heat has to go somewhere, and so I presume it just goes back into making the city even hotter unless you're in one of these air-conditioned spaces.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there are some smart things that they've done. They can draw some energy from solar panels if they want to and try to cool water overnight and then use it during the day through a heat exchanger. And, it's as cooling large stadiums goes, it's the smart thing to do.
But you mentioned that they don't use solar power that much because their stock and trade is natural gas, as was made them rich.
Well, and in fact, I don't believe they are using solar in those places right now for the stadiums. Natural gas is extremely plentiful and cheap. Qatar is neck and neck for the largest LNG exporter in the world, and they're about to expand by 40-some-odd%. I visited a dairy farm in a place that seemed perfect for solar panels, but the manager of the business said it was cheaper and easier just to draw the 35 megawatts they needed from the electrical grid, which is entirely gas-fired.
So how far can this go? At some point, the scientists warn, we get to the temperature where it is no longer safe to go outside as a human being because you're just not adapted to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a serious problem. And it's one thing in Qatar where they have the money and they have the resources to do this. Or places like the United States or Europe where, Europe... a tiny percentage of Europe had air conditioning, and now they've had a couple of heat waves, and they're buying air conditioners at a very fast pace. So, if you've got the money, you can adapt. It's not really a solution, but much of the world isn't in that category, and those people are having a tough time. And I think it's driving a lot of migration to get to someplace that's more livable.
Right. We have a big U.S. Air Force base there, Al Udeid Air Force Base, and I understand that the work rules there. I actually don't know how you get any work done when you have, it's something like 20 minutes on, and then you have to rest for 40 minutes and drink 2 quarts of water before you can work again.
Yeah, well, in the really hot portion of the day, it's actually slightly stiffer rule than that. It's, I think, 10 minutes of difficult labor and then 50 minutes recovering and having some water.
So I know the purpose of the series is as a warning to the rest of us that they're before the grace of God, right? But we are not in Qatar. I mean, the climate here is very different. Can I just, can I at least relax knowing that, okay, if I live in the desert, that's a problem. But living here in the cool Pacific Northwest, we should have another 100 years or so, shouldn't we?
Well, I mean, I think every place or every place with the money tends to do things that could be portrayed as silly. You know, we heat outdoor cafes here when it's cold. I think, you know, cooling whole stadiums is doing it on a different scale, but it's not a totally foreign concept to those of us in places like Seattle.
Steve Mufson from the Washington Post on the outdoor air conditioning in Qatar.
And now time for your daily dose of kindness. Kindness is the watchword at many schools across the country these days. But one kindness movement was started in Minnesota recently by a 98-year-old woman. Margaret Peterson says she felt compelled to help the students all over the state.
We probably haven't done a very good job as seniors to give them what they should have gotten from us. So let's start right now. Don't wait a minute longer.
She started the kindness movement at Minnewaska High School by having the football team help finger knit a kindness chain. WCCO reporter John Lauritsen takes it from there.
People as young as 3 years old, up to 98, have helped knit Margaret's Be Kind chain.
We made a long chain. We have about a mile long.
The Be Kinders joined forces with Rachel's Challenge, named after Rachel Scott, who was killed in the Columbine shooting. She, too, believed in simple acts of kindness.
This idea of a chain reaction, that if one person was kind, then everybody would follow.
It's easy to say that Margaret's chain created a chain reaction at the school. It led to kindness notes in the hallways and reports of students reaching out and helping each other. And through it all, Margaret became a cheerleader. Her Be Kind, Just Try It, I Will chant became as accepted as a good deed. So now whenever she visits the school, students and adults alike let her know that she, too, is special.
I shouldn't say that no one else could have done this, but she is an inspiration.
To work with all of our kids, from our kindergartners all the way up to our football team, and to make an impact with all of them is a pretty incredible deal.
As long as we remember that you have to keep going.
You keep going, too, Margaret.
Time for the Sports Insider. Stacy Ross standing by from Tom, Jake, and Stacy. And just to remind you of what we're talking about, here's this.
Turner slotted on the left. Russ from the shotgun gets the snap. Blitz is coming. Russ lays it up over the top. It's picked off in the far flat. The kick is away. The kick is no good. He shanked and left. And there's hope yet for the Seahawks with 3:06 to play. At the 45, waits for the snap. Michael Dixon puts it down. That kick is away. And that kick is good! The Seahawks win! It's good! From 42, the Seahawks in overtime win for the second time in 2 weeks. And they beat the undefeated, now once defeated, San Francisco 49ers.
And it just continues, to quote the late Dave Niehaus. Stacy, you got the score wrong, but that's okay because they won and... And you said they wouldn't. That's all right. I probably would have predicted the same thing, and I probably would have predicted the same thing up until the last 3 seconds of the game. What were you thinking? In that last play, it looked like they were going to go for it on fourth down, and then Pete changed his mind. Is that what happened?
I think they were trying to draw them offsides just to check and see. And even in overtime, when the 49ers were marching down the field, I thought, all right, this is it. And I thought they would go for it too a couple times, and they ended up punting. So both teams punted when I thought they would go for it. I don't know what to think. I was a bundle of emotions watching this game. I couldn't handle it, but I've never been so happy to be wrong about something.
I know. And it's, a game like this, it brought together so many storylines. For example, Russell Wilson, the undersized escape artist, scrambling for his life, and a couple of amazing plays where he could have lost 20 yards and instead, you know, gained 10. And, of course, the story of Jason Myers. What an arc he's been on for the past 10 days.
Yeah, no kidding. And you just feel in that moment that he had last week, missing the potential game winner, you just feel awful. You feel absolutely horrible. And I think it was Pete Carroll that came out and supported him right away and said, he's our kicker. We're not doing anything. And then you had a week of people just deriding Jason Myers, yeah, saying, you got to move on. For him to come out and redeem himself, not once, but twice, was just great for him. And just that whole drive, in general, I mean, there were so many kind of unexpected, not unexpected heroes, but there were so many unexpected playmakers. Jacob Hollister once again helping out as the last healthy tight end on the roster for that game. Malik Turner coming in and having some big passes to him in overtime when Tyler Lockett was injured. The whole thing was just such a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, when I saw Tyler Lockett sitting on the sidelines there with his helmet off, not coming back into the game, I said, well, that was another one. I gave up on the team at least three times during.
Oh, at least a minimum of three times. There were times when I thought my stepdad does a lot of like if he watches the game, he'll just be like, I can't. And he'll get up and walk away and he'll leave for an extended period of time. And I almost trailed him for that game where there were moments where I was like, I can't. I got to go. I can't watch this game.
Well, you know what I did? Because there, like you say, the tension was intense. I did 20 push-ups each time I felt that way. And the first time I did it, they recovered that fumble. So I said, okay, the next time
we gotta do it every time.
I'm gonna do it every time. And by golly, I did it right before that last kick too, and it worked. So now
you need to do this all the time.
By the end of the season, the upper body strength I'm gonna have is gonna be legendary.
I know. When I write my preview, I'm gonna say the three biggest players for this game, and one of them is gonna be you.
Yeah, thank you.
And those push ups. You gotta keep it going.
Stacey, if you must know, he looks a little bit like DJ Metcalf right now.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I don't doubt it.
Yeah, he's pretty well
ripped. With the earring and everything.
Yeah, no, just the upper body alone.
Yeah, he said a little bit like like I've got shoulders and arms.
People just watching it on the stream. I'm sorry. Is Dave getting really buff? Or
yeah, he's
just
ripped.
Me?
You can tell him the same species. Then that's probably about it. So what is Tyler Lockett's status now?
We don't know much of anything yet. This is what it sounds like. It sounds like he had a leg contusion or like a bone bruise or something like that that started swelling a lot, and the team wasn't as concerned about the contusion, which players have and they come back, as they were about the swelling, because they were worried about compartment syndrome. I don't understand enough about it other than that it's very serious and you need to have it relieved immediately. So he actually stayed in the Bay Area overnight to go to a hospital. So that is really the prime concern. And then Pete Carroll was asked whether he thinks this could linger, you know, into time for the rest of the season. And he said, I don't know that yet. It doesn't sound like it, but they've got to make sure.
Is that because of those hits he took last night?
I'm not sure. I don't know about you guys, but when they showed him on the bench, which, by the way, neither announcer commented on, which was very weird. It just pans to Tyler Lockett. Silence. Yeah. Goes to the game. When they showed him on the bench, I remember thinking, I didn't even see him get hit. Like, when did he leave the game? I'm surprised he's not out
there. I saw him hit a couple of times. I mean, they were using him almost as a running back.
Yeah. I mean, he takes a ton of hits during games, and you wonder how he pops back up, but this time it stuck.
Yeah. Stacey Ross, thank you, and congratulations to us, by golly. We should have two parades, shouldn't we?
We should, absolutely.
The Sounders and beating San Francisco. Wow. Seattle's Morning News, this is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien, and look who's back after a month off, Rachel Bell.
It's me!
Welcome back!
Thank you!
So the first question everybody has is, how in the world do you wangle a month off?
Ooh, I like that word, wangle. That's really fun. Is that wrangle, but kind of with a lisp?
Sort of.
Okay. I've been in New Zealand for the last month. For 3 weeks of that, my boyfriend and I, we rented a camper van, which we lived in, and we went choo-choo-choo around the South Island. We went backpacking a little bit, camping. But yeah, people keep asking me, how did you get a month off? Because to my knowledge, here at Cairo, I don't know anybody else who's been allowed to have that much time off. And I negotiated this. So it was actually a couple years ago that I did it, and it's taken me a couple years to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But what I learned is two things. First of all, I went and I saw a career coach a few years ago. I will name her because she's so great. If anyone's looking, her name is Judy Bloom, which is part of her charm. She's on the East Side. And she told me that she just kept saying the same thing is, why don't you ever ask for anything that you want? I was always like, I want to do this, da, da, da. And I had all these excuses.
Yeah.
So I made an appointment with my boss at the time, and I asked for these three things that I'd wanted for a very long time. And one of them was a month off. One of them was to not work on Fridays. And then one of them had to do with my laptop. And I got all three things. So it was really an epiphany for me. It sounds like the most basic thing. But let me inspire you, if you're listening, ask for the things you want, because they really can only just say no. I had all these reasons. I thought I would, you know, be thought of as someone who didn't take my job seriously, or that I just was kind of lazy, or I don't know, all of these things.
Well, I think all those things.
I know you do. And so I'm so glad every day you're not my boss. And then when you're negotiating, if they won't give you money or they won't give you as much money as you want, ask for time. I said, you know, I'd be willing to even take time unpaid because I really just want this time. And I was just really honest. And I said, this is my only life. And I love travel and I get burnt out from work. And
let me get this straight. So you negotiated to be not paid for your month off.
I said I would be willing to not be paid for it.
Okay.
And it did turn out because I did whatever long I had enough time in.
Okay.
It. But
I just want to get that clear.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Maybe that's not great negotiating, but for me, it was time is worth it to me over money.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So the other thing you told me just before we turned the mics on is that you learned how to do nothing.
Yes. I am the queen of FOMO. For those who don't know, that's the fear of missing out. And I am like, go, go, go. I walk really fast. I talk fast. I'm planning all of these things.
Right.
And I just got so tired. You know, we'd been in this van and we did, you know, like at least 10 hikes on this trip and blah, blah, blah. My first instinct, though, is like, the show must go on. You take your tired body and you throw it out on the street and you just see everything. But one day I said, I'm just going to stay in my Airbnb until I actually feel like leaving, which turned out to be 4 p.m. I stayed in bed all day reading
4 p.m.
and binge watching. And I ate this loaf of bread in my bed. It got crumbs everywhere. And it wasn't easy. Every hour I had to keep telling myself, this is okay.
Stay in this bed.
This is fine.
Eat more bread.
Eat more bread.
Come on.
In this bed.
You didn't watch TV or anything?
I did. I watched the whole new season of Queer Eye. They're in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm trying to do this new thing called do what you feel like doing, not what you're supposed to do. Because another day I had this plan that I was going to take a ferry to this beautiful island that everyone kept saying, don't miss it. Don't miss it. And again, I just didn't feel like it.
So
and I felt so
it.
Guilty. And I instead went to the movies and I went to a terrible new Christmas rom-com. But it was what I wanted to do.
What did you want to do?
Yeah.
So you're going to do what you want to do, even if it's really worse than what people are suggesting you do.
Even if it seems uncool, or like I'm going to, quote, miss something, or I'm not going to see the
you're
thing
you're not
going to
care about
to.
That anymore. No more
care.
FOMO for you.
No more FOMO. I'm an ex-member
you
of the FOMO
out.
International.
You want to miss out.
Yeah, I want to miss out. Not as good of an acronym. WTMA.
It's no, it's FOMO. It's fear of not missing out.
It sounds like that Muppet song, like that. Na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Phenomena.
Well,
can you relax on vacation?
No.
Okay. So you get
no.
it.
No, I never relax on vacation. If I go on vacation, I've got to fill it with things that exhaust me.
Yeah.
I relax at work. Thank you, Rachel.
Loud and relaxed.
Thanks for listening to Seattle's Morning News, the podcast. I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Colleen O'Brien. You can find our podcast weekday mornings right at 9:30.
And if you subscribe, you'll never miss the Daily Dose of Kindness.